And just going through some of these. Now, this one here talks about a young fellow, 5'8", 84 kilos at the time. His rookie year, 1992. It says, the older of the freakishly talented brothers. Insert name has regularly been the steadying influence of the Knights' backline and has worked feverishly to lift the club from a worrying form slot in 1996. In 1996, this team, who won the comp the following year, won only two of their last 10, I've just found out. Highly skilled and innovative 5'8". I'm pleased to say the highly skilled and innovative 5'8" is joining us. Thanks to Four Pines Brewing Co., filled with real characters. Matthew Johns, good afternoon.
Joel, Spud, how are you, lads?
Oh, I had no idea that you limped home in 1996 only to win the comp the following year, Matty.
Well, what had happened, Joel, was that the year before, okay, let's go back 2 years, 1994, the 1992, the side, you know, we got up into the final three, best season the club had ever had. 93-94 was a big turnover of players and all us younger guys come through, so they were difficult seasons. Malcolm really arrives in 1995, just gives us the belief we need. We make it to the final four, unfortunately knocked out by Spuds Manly that year. And what had happened during that year was the Super League War, where suddenly, like before the Super League War, I was getting 15,000, Andrew was getting 12,000, and we thought we were flying. And went away at the end of the year on a kangaroo tour with the World Cup. And basically, we all got carried away with ourselves. We're buying cars, just got ahead of ourselves. We had a slow start to the season. We had a good middle of the year. And then Joey dyed his hair red one day at Brookvale Oval. Had an absolute shocker. And seriously, the wheels just came completely off. It got really ugly, actually. I remember one day we got beat by Illawarra Steelers and the crowd booed us off. And one bloke was screaming at Joey. Joey was yelling back at him. I was like, man, this is, yeah. And that, but that, without that season, yeah. I don't think we win in 97, so... Those years, as I said, I remember, like reading Spud's book, you know, where he made the kangaroo tour that year, and then the following year, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong.
I talk about that all the time with Fletch, Matty, where sometimes the best gifts come badly wrapped, and sometimes you need a bit of a bludger of a one to get the best out of it. And I'm still convinced now, as we look to the final five and the Dally M's, I'm so convinced, Matty, that without the Harry incident on the Corso, which completely straightens up Tommy Turbo and he's off the drink and all those sorts of things. Like, without, honestly, without the Harry on the Corso incident, do we see Turbo get to the heights that he ultimately gets to?
Well, that's right, Joel. They tell me after that, you know, he hasn't had a drink since. It was a big wake-up call for him. And, yeah, I mean, he's... I mean, looking at the Dally M's as they sit at the moment, Nathan had a return from injury. He might have had in that run, a 2-point or a 3-point game. But look, by the look of things, if I was setting a market, I'd shut it down. It'd be $1 for Tom to win it.
Matty, that game when your brother dyed his hair, how'd they go down with the coach?
Sorry? How'd it go down? It was funny. Malcolm Spud was very much, he was a player's man. And he didn't like to intrude too much on your life, as long as it didn't mix up with the football. I think Joey had a real serious talk to Joey afterwards. Looking back in hindsight, Spud, Joey had just gone through, like he'd gone away in 95 with all of us. He got player of the match in the final, and the player of the tournament. Then he, and the highest point scorer of the tournament in the World Cup, no less playing at the Wembley Stadium, as you know, in that last game, you just sort of pinch yourself. Yep. Come back. Then he plays State of Origin. He gets one of the best players in that series and basically just hit the wall.
Yeah.
And one thing I know about Joey, when he hits the wall, he gets very irritable and he tends to lash out a little bit, doesn't listen to people, and gets a little bit like, you know, he's, I think a lot of people relate to this, sort of gets very self-defeatist, you know, lashes out and does certain things that... but that one, you know, he does that to himself. That one really affected the team. He looks back at that now and knows that, you know, with him being such a senior player and doing that, it sent the train off the tracks.
Yeah, as you read in the book, I remember going back 1990 kangaroo tour. I come back, I must have put about 10 kilo over there, I reckon, just drinking so much beer. I've never drank so much in my life, and just played like a bust the next year. You just think it's going to happen, but you've really got to work harder.
In the spot, that is so true. And Joel, you'd relate to this. I reckon about two off seasons really stand out in my career where I'd really thought I'd got the game by the balls, mm-hmm. that I'd worked it out.
Yep.
And both seasons the next year were really bad seasons for me, disastrous seasons. It just shows you, you know, that your preparation is just everything. And a lot of those players, but looking back, particularly those long Kangaroo tours, it was always known that off the back of those Kangaroo tours, the following year was always problematic for the players who went away. So there's no doubt about it. It was hard to go away. And as you said, Spud, you're drinking plenty of beer, plenty of wine.
Yeah.
The last thing you do when you come back is jump into pre-season training.
Yeah. Right. Now, Matty, we have the prelims coming up. So I just want to go back to your prelim. And what you find is there's great joy when a team makes the grand final. And sometimes there's issues around, you know, will a player get suspended or is a player injured? But I note from your prelim final team to the grand final team, Leo Denever was in the 17 for the prelim, but not in the grand final 17. Why the absence?
What had happened, Joel? He was on the bench for insurance because Joey had in the semi the week before against Parramatta had punctured his lung. Had broke a rib.
Right.
He'd broken a rib. He had to go into the game with painkillers. It was doubtful whether he was going to get through. Got through the first half, had another painkiller at half time, and it punctured his lung. And so he ran onto the field at half time, but then had to go off. And so luckily Leo was on the bench, and he came on, you know, and finished the game for us. Leo was just enormous through the year. For the first half of the season that year, he was the best player in the competition.
Wow.
He was just, mate, he and Owen Craigie had a combination. Like, those Indigenous boys is just magic in their football. And we had to change the way we played because Joey is very good planning halfback and everything's deliberate. And Leo was just beautiful at reading things. He played upbeat, ad-lib, reactive football. And we just adjusted around that. Man, he was a great player, Leo Denver. Really, really super talented.
Speaking about great Indigenous players, Ewan McGrady, and we go back to when he was home for the Rothmans medal. A similar scenario may have happened with Justin Olam. He was originally left out of the three contenders, I suppose, for the centre of the year. All of a sudden, he's turning up. Now, this is an interesting scenario, Matty, because if he wins it all of a sudden, like, can he win it? How does it stand here?
I don't know. It's been very confusing. They're saying that it was a typo. Man, I don't know, but... I think he's been the best centre in the competition this year. Like, if you think, like, if you're a young centre, like Morgan Harper in that first week of the semis, they'd come off the Cowboys game where they were just basically in the second half scoring at will, do what they like. Then all of a sudden, they looked like they'd just gone out there in that Melbourne Storm game and expected it to happen, expected to compete and push Melbourne all the way to the line. And suddenly, if you're Morgan Harper, you're a young bloke in your first final series and you're against Justin Olam, who every time you get the ball, he's jamming you outside in, and when he's got the football, he's trying to run over the top of you. It'd be a nightmare playing against Justin.
If Paul Momorowski finishes the game, we're saying, geez, Paul Momorowski played well, who's marking Olam, they've probably won the game, the Penrith Panthers. Let's talk about the Rabbitohs taking on the Seagulls, Matty. This is Wayne Bennett taking on Des Hasler. What's your read on this one?
Oh, man. This has been just about the toughest game, I reckon, in the last, the back half of the year. Some games you just frivolously go, 50-50, I'll go with this team. But this one, you've got to this time of the year, give a lot of thought to your tips. And since I've been given a fair bit of thought in the last month, this has been the most difficult game to pick. Because I just feel, I look at it and I go, can I bet against Tom Trbojevic?
Yeah.
And then, mate, can you bet against Wayne having a week off? There's a few things that'll decide the contest. One will be... the Blake Taff situation with young Blake there at fullback is when he played against the Panthers, they just couldn't get the kicking game. They wanted to really pressure him, and they looked to pressure him with high kicks. I think what you'll see from Manly will do what they did. When they're playing really good football, Manly, they kick long and kick early, chase really hard and attack with their defence. And if they can do that well, mate, they're going to be under the pump, South. You know, that kicking over the top of Taff, charging down on him and taking out the back three from South. If the back, it's going to, as you blokes know, when you take out those early tackles, nullify those early tackles, the forwards are right up against it. So that's going to be a really intriguing clash, that the kicking game of Dudley Tree Evans versus the back three of South. But for no rhyme or reason, I just think South find a way to win. It just, do you boys, do you feel like, I feel like it's like almost their destiny to make this, you know, make this grand final?
The Fletcher's declaring him. He's absolutely, he said, I've had an epiphany. He thinks they're absolutely over the line.
He gave me a tip on something at Cranbourne just recently. It comes second last.
You know what? It was about 30-1 and I missed it and I forgot to back it. And then I looked at the thing and I went, thank God. Thank God for that. But anyway, the only thing I think, Matty, I remember being at Four Pines Park and because they came into this season without a recognised number nine. And what Desi's done with Lachlan Croker, he wasn't in that first semi-final when they were bashed by Melbourne. And he came back into the side and they looked at 10 times better. So I'm probably the other way. I just think Tommy Turbo, it's his destiny to be there. But who would know? How do you see it, Spud?
Yeah, Matty, I think the old analogy is you know, the forwards win matches. Okay, but I look at the forwards. But also, I just want to get your take on who do you think's got the best bench? I think the bench these days is so important. The impact off the bench. What's your take on that, mate?
Well, mate, the bench from South is a little bit different. Like it's a big, strong bench. Paseka, who comes off for Manly, makes such a powerhouse. And when he comes on after 30 minutes, and the starters have done the job, he causes a lot of damage. Where South Sydney, I think when they come on, they're a little bit more fast moving. So depending on the style of game, if South Sydney get the ascendancy or they have a really good first 25 minutes, that could be, I can see the South Sydney pack having a really big impact. But it's really, it's interesting, Spud. At the moment, it looks like Sean Kepi's going to start off the bench. That surprises me a little bit because I thought he was the bloke that got their compass in the right direction last week. I thought he was their best forward.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic up front. He whacked a few blokes, but I'm also happy Walker off the bench. He's been incredible. For a middle forward, I know we always think he's an outside back, but I tell you what, some of his hole running has been superb.
Hasn't it been good, like the way some of the sides, the best sides, have adjusted around these new rules and the fact that, you know, like it's, we spoke about Lachlan Croker before, you said, Joel, where suddenly Dez has got some blokes in that team. He doesn't exactly know where to pick them, you know, are they... Lachlan Croker was one. You know, he's a half. He doesn't quite create enough. Not maybe quite quick enough. He's found a place at nine, playing fantastic football. Just given him a role, which he's really enjoying. And Dylan Walker. That's one of the best positional moves of the season from any team, for any coach. Mm. His speed and his footwork, a little bit of ball playing, short ball playing, it's been one of the secrets of Manly's success in the last 6 weeks. He's been outstanding.
On the other game, and just with Des Hasler, so his offsider is Rami Hayder, and he was on Jimmy's program earlier today, and he was talking about how everyone gets so, you know, fixated on completion rates and time in possession and those sorts of things, where he likes to focus on, with Desi, ball receipts. So in other words, how many times your team is catching the ball. Well, the Penrith Panthers have caught the ball more than anyone, which means you're playing a bit of footy. The ball's getting out and about. I'm just concerned, Matty, their defence is unbelievable. There's no question that. But is David Warner being asked to block the ball a little bit? Are they in their shackles a little bit, Penrith Panthers, at the later end of the season?
Yes, I think they are. What happens a little bit, I reckon, with attacks, when your attack starts to, I won't say subside, but put it this way, they were flying early to mid-season. And football, it just looked easy. It looked happy. They were playing with a smile on their face. Suddenly, post-Origin, everyone's a little bit tired. Nathan gets injured. And they've had to play a different way. Suddenly, football's a little bit difficult. They look to me like a side that has gone back to the chalkboard, trying to find the formula. And they've just got a little bit too much structure in the game, if that makes sense. Like, watching them last week in particular, I thought they looked a little tired. But what we saw is suddenly Isaiah Yeo becoming more of a hit-up forward. Then, and you had what you had with Joel and, with Jerome and Nathan, is that there was no shot, edge-to-edge football. It was basically Nathan have a shot, set it back into the middle. Yep. Jerome have a little shot, back into the middle. That's not their football. Their football is pushing the ball into the middle, Nathan picking the ball up, Nathan playing exact science from a 50 start, looking to get the second man, third man, playing really exact and putting a dent in them, and that's when Jerome is in charge of width. And he just goes, righto, my turn. And Nathan goes, bang, bang, straight out to Jerome. And it really opens the field up. And it opens the field up for Yo through the middle and, you know, and for the guys to sort of their footwork, like Luai using his footwork back through the middle off offloads. That's what they need to do. They need to open the field up a little bit. Their football has suddenly become a little bit claustrophobic. And it's I think they're not a chalkboard team.
No.
They're not the sort of side to go there and say, righto, now what we're going to do is we're going to get to this man, to this man. I was talking to a bloke about it the other day, about, you know, he was talking about, you know, his side's attack and like this. And I said, any time you come from a post, like a short field start, you can play exact science football, meaning that, righto, when I get to the second man spud, you hit it side him, that's how you sweep behind there, Joel. That's fine. But when you're playing full field, forget about exact science. On full field, you just go wham, wham, wham as quick as you can, get the ball to the other side of the field, like New South Wales did in Origin. Hit them on one side of the field, then all of a sudden, you know, hit them to Tommy on one side of the field to gather numbers, then as quick as you can, get it to Latrell. Open the field up. That's what Penrith have got to get back to.
Yeah, I totally agree with Matty, Spud. And to Matty's point, if you think back to the grand final last year, it meant so much to him. So it was Davey Warner blocking not to let his wicket go when at halftime the game was gone. And guess what? They opened the shackles. Davey Warner back to his slashing self and they chased down Melbourne in a hurry. They almost got themselves back in the game.
Yeah, I just think their attacks, it's just dropped off the last 3 to 4 weeks. But their main kingpin, meaning Cleary, mate, I think he's injured. I know he went down last week. He went down and grabbed his shoulder there. But I guarantee you, Melbourne, the way they are, they'll have one man just coming out and get him on the... All they need to do is whack him on his back. It's like in the NFL, they want to get the quarterback. Mm. And you can try so many ways of blocking. But, yes. Melbourne, mate, they are fantastic at doing that in their game.
Yeah, they're the best at it. And that's the thing, Spud, is that for all Melbourne's attacking... talents and attacking sequences and knowing where they're going to identify people. Like they'll go at Momorowski's edge. The right side from Cody Walker really worried Momorowski. Momorowski kept biting in. They will not miss that. And what accentuates that is the fact that Momorowski played at the Storm last year and they'll know all his tendencies. Mm. But at the very core of how they believe they're going to win this game is shutting down Nathan, exerting pressure on Nathan. They'll defend him outside in. They'll rush him. They'll bump that shoulder. This is the coming into this week. This is the biggest test of Nathan's career.
Yeah, it's absolutely massive. Yeah. Just before you go, Matty, if you knew who won the competition, so assuming that South had won it, or Manly had won it, or Melbourne had won it, or of course Penrith, who would be the Clive Churchill medalist for each team? Do you think?
Well, I'm going to surprise you here and say Tom Trbojevic from Manly. if it was South Sydney, I'll go Cody Walker. Mm. If it was Penrith, because I think Luai needs to have a big impact to win. I'll take a chance and say Luai. And if Melbourne win it, Jerome Hughes.
Wow. Okay.
They're all outside backs, no forwards.
No, that's right, Spud. You know what they're like? You know, the blokes who tip it, I think they get on the vino up in the stand and they just give it to the halfback.
Blokes done 25 carries, 250 metres, and he comes third.
Exactly right.
That's right. Who's the bloke in the headgear down there?
Yeah, that's him. Hey, Matty, what's on the show tomorrow?
Mate, we've got Joey in. We're going to, of course, preview all the finals. We're going to have a yarn about Madge. Basically, which that was just crazy what's going on there. Talk about the expansion that's going on. We've got movie of the week. The movie of the week is probably the worst movie of all time. If you want to check it out, called Chasing Dreams.
Okay.
It is, honestly, get on YouTube. It is the worst movie of all time. We're going to talk about that. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I had a dog called Chasing Dreams. It was the worst greyhound of all time as well. So there you go. It's something in the name. Hey, Matty, have a good show, mate. We appreciate your time.
Good on you, Joel. Thanks, bud.
See you, mate.